Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Shkolim. We just began the Menu Masechta yesterday, and we're at the very top, on the top line of Gimel Omer Aleph. And we begin by quoting the Mishnah. In the Mishnah it said, Misakin nisadrochim v'esarachovos, v'esmikvos hamayim, v'osim kol tzorchei harabim. So the Mishnah had said that there were certain things that were done in Adar that Basin took care of, including fixing the roads and fixing the mikvos and taking care of the tzorchei rabim. Now here we're going to discuss what the tzorchei rabim are. And we begin by quoting a tosefta from Moed Katan. And this tosefta begins as follows. Elohim tzorchei rabim. The following are examples of our tzorchei rabim that Moed Katan talks about. Now, Moed Katan deals a lot with Chol HaMoed. And there is a whole discussion that these are things that you're allowed to do on Chol HaMoed, because you might have thought that on Chol HaMoed it has certain dinim that you're not allowed to do malacha, so you might have thought that these are prohibited. So because these are tzorchei rabin, one is permitted to do them on Chol HaMoed. So therefore, don in dine momenos, you're allowed to judge a financial matter. You can go to a beis din and take care of dine momenos. Likewise, you can do v'dine nefashos. So chamon l'tzanat, there's a capital crime that needs to be adjudicated, so that can be done on Chol HaMoed as well. Upodin arochin v'charamim vekdeshos, and a person who has made certain types of vows. So, for example, he says Erki Olai or Erkecho Olai. He says a certain value to going to the Beis Hamikdash. Charamim. There's two types of charamim. The charamim are basically hekdeshos that either go to the Kohanim. It's basically giving a gift to the Kohanim, or it's giving a gift to the Beis Hamikdash. Here you're dealing with gifts to the Beis Hamikdash, a cherem that goes to the Beis Hamikdash, vektashos, and other types of donations, sanctifications that a person gives to the Beis Hamikdash. All of these, the Beis Din can redeem them and go and decide if it's not clear. In Erech, it's clear how much it is based upon gender and age. So these things, if they're clear, you just pay them. Or if they're not clear, so then you can go and evaluate. The Beis Din can say how much you have to go and redeem for this item. Umashkin Sasota, Rahman al Islam, if there's a woman who is closeted away with another man after she was warned by her husband not to, so she has to drink the Mei Sota. So we are allowed to do this on Chol HaMoed as well. Bisarfin is a para, the orphan Egla Rufa. The Bavli has the gears switched around, and first we have the orphan Egla Rufa, and then Bisarfin is a para. What are these two things? So Sarfin is a para, is making a paraduma. There are only a limited number of paradumas made throughout history, but one would be allowed to do so on Chol HaMoed. And likewise, if there's Rahman al-Islan of a dead person that's found, so then you do the process to see which is the closest city to which that dead person was found, and you do the Egla Rufa process. And the roads in Eved Ivri, if an Eved Ivri, Sheshonim Yavodu Vashvis, it's Elachovshi Chinam. Normally the Eved Ivri goes out in the sixth, after the 6 years, he goes out in the seventh year, but if the Eved Ivri says, Oh, Havti Esadani Esishtivi Esbonoi, Lord Sechovshi, he doesn't want to go out. He says, I'd like to stay here, I'm comfortable here. So then you pierce his ear, the ear that listened on Har Sinai, that you should only be an Eved to Hashem. So he pierced that ear and say, how come you want to be an Eved to somebody else? The Rotzah, you do the piercing of the ear process, and he stays until the Yovel. So that's allowed to be done on Chol HaMoed as well. Mitarin is a Mitzorah. A Mitzorah is allowed to be judged to see whether his lesion has gone away and is no longer making him a Mitzorah, to make him Tohar. And finally, the last one is Mufarkin is a Minol Me'al Gabi Yamayim. So the simple understanding of this is that you are removing the locks that they used to have that they put up on the collecting areas of water. They used to have these huge systems in the ground, these pits, these cisterns that they collected the water during the rainy season in the winter, and then they would have adequate water for the summer when there was no rain and they didn't have rivers nearby, so they were relying upon these cisterns. So during the winter they would lock them up so they wouldn't get taken by somebody, and then as soon as they needed them in the non-rainy season, so they would open up these locks. The Menachem Eish of Nefesh says they had some sort of like a tarp that would cover up these wells, and they would remove this tarp and allow people to access the wells. That's according to the girsa that we have. There is a girsa that's brought down on the side, Nuschos Yeshenos, which says that they would go and Mefarkin es haminol me'al gabe ha'imum, and this means that they would remove. There was a certain type of a form that they used to make shoes on. So they would be allowed to go take the shoe off from this form on Chol HaMoed. The Karbon Eda points out that this form that they had, it wasn't requiring an Uman to take it off. But to put it back, that required an Uman, and therefore that would be Usur on Chol HaMoed. In any event, all of these things are permissible to be done on Chol HaMoed. I didn't read the last piece of the Gemara. Ben Marzirin, the Girsu that we have, is Osan. On the side it says the gear should be Oso. And this is actually what I just referred to in the Karbon Eda, that you're not allowed to go put this back, the shoe back onto the form, onto this defus, because that is a Meleches Uman. According to the first interpretation, this would mean that they would keep the tarp off the cistern, or the lock off the cistern, until the end of the summer, and they would then return it then. Okay. Gemara now says, Tamon Tanina, we learned in a Mishnah over there in Moed Katan, Mashkin Beis HaShulochin, you're also allowed to go do on Chol HaMoed, to go and irrigate the fields, and as well, Umitzainin Al HaKvarus, and you can also go and make the markings, put the lime onto the Kvarim to make sure that people don't go on those Kvarus and be Metame, their Kachim, or their Truma and Maestros. But this last thing is problematic, because the Gemara asks, Lo kvar tzaynu be'adar, we learned in our Masechta here that they already did this during the month of Adar. They would go and mark off the graves with the limestone, because it had been washed away during the rainy winter season, so they'd already done this. So why are you telling me now on Chol HaMoed Pesach that they'd have to go, or be allowed to go, and put the limestone on? You've already done that recently. Why do you need to do it again? So the Gemara answers the Tipoter, that the Tikkun Chadatin tells us means Taritz. Answer it as follows. You give the Pisaron, you give the answer as follows. Sheyarat Shetev Shokisham Mishtafu. We're talking that a big rain came and it washed away the prior markings that you had done in Adar. So now it's Chol HaMoed Pesach. You're allowed to go and do this if you see that there's going to be potential for causing trouble, because people don't realize this tum over there. So you're allowed to go and remark it again on Chol HaMoed. So this rain came and wiped away the markings that you had done in Adar, on Tesvav Adar. Then it says, in this Mishnah, Moed Katan, V'yotzin af al kilayim. That Mishnah tells us that you're also allowed to go out and remove the kilayim, or tell the people that they must remove the kilayim. And again, the Gemara says, we just did this in Adar. Why do we have to do again on Chol HaMoed Pesach? Lo kvar yotzu me'adar. We just said that they went out on Tesvav Adar. The Beis Din sent out the shluchim, and they told the people, you better go and uproot your kilayim. So how come we have to do it again on Chol HaMoed Pesach? So where it says, Tiftar, again, we give the Teretz, Shehoysa Hashana Fela, it was late that year. What does that mean? The crops had not yet grown sufficiently at the time of Tezvav Adar for the Shluchim to notice that there was Kilayim over there. Vein Hatzmachim Nikarim. So they couldn't tell as to whether there was Kilayim there or not. They just saw some growths, but they couldn't tell what those growths were, and therefore there was no announcement to the owners of that field that in fact, they weren't allowed to maintain that kilayim. So therefore, they went out in those years when it was late. In other words, the way the calendar was structured, the crops hadn't yet fully grown to the point where they could detect that they were kilayim. So therefore, they would then send out the shluchim on Chol HaMoed Pesach. Now the Gemara asks the question, Minayin Litziyun, is there a source and a smachta in Nach where we can see that the Torah recommends that we go and mark off these areas of Tumah? So Gemara says, yes, there is. So we bring down, now the gear so we have is Rav Brechia, Rabbi Yaakov, Barbas Yaakov, and it's really both of them. It's two different people, Rabbi Brechia and also the Rabbi Yaakov, Barbas Yaakov. Now, why don't we say his father's name? So we have this a couple of times in Shas where it's mentioned the grandfather's name, and we just say that it's this person, in this case Rabbi Yaakov, who was the son of the daughter of his grandfather, Yaakov. And that's because his father was not a good person, and the Gemara doesn't want to mention this. This has a lachol ma'aser ramifications. When a person gets an aliyah, and if his father is a rasha, or the father is not known who he is, or the father wasn't a person that we would want to mention, so then they'll call up the person with a different name. They'll call him up by the grandfather's name, or they'll call him up sometimes even by the mother's name, or by Ben Avram. So there are allusions to this, even halacha lemaisa. In any event, these two rabbonim, Rav Brechia and Rav Yaakov, who was named after his grandfather, he was the son of the daughter of his grandfather Yaakov, and they both said this b'shem Rabbi Chunya, this rabbi known as Rabbi Chunya, who came from a place known as Divras Chavrin. That's the name of a place. Also, you had the same statement that was made by these other Amoraim, Rav Yosa. We've had him a number of times already. Rav Yosa said this Amila, and also Rabbi Yaakov Bar Acha said this as well, and they both said it b'shem Rav Chunya Divras Chavrin. They also said it in the name of Rav Chunya, who came from this place, Baras Chavrin. And you can see the Bavli's gears of all of this in Oz Gimel, in the Nuschas HaBavli, where it says that this was Rav Yaakov, who was the son, Berei, the Bas Yaakov, of the daughter of Yaakov, his grandfather. And he said it, B'shem, Rav Nechunya. And here it says he came from a place known as Dibras Hudon. Okay, not Chavin, but Hudon. And then Rav Yossi, not Rav Yosa, Amrilo, he said it, B'shem. Here it says it, B'shem, Rav Yaakov, who was the Berei, the Rav Acha, B'shem, it said it in the name of the Rav Yechunya, Dibras Hudon. Now, I didn't yet read it in our Gemara, but the Nuschos HaBadli then continues with the next group of Amoraim and says, Rav Chizkia, the Rav Azia, Berei, the Rav Nechunya, who was from Dibras Hudon, said the following. And now we read it inside our Gemara. The Gersa that we have over here is Rav Chizkia and also Rabu Ziel, Berei, the Rav Chunya, the Beis Chavron. He said it, both of them, B'shem Rav Chunya, one of them was his father, and the other one just his Rebbe, who came from the Beis Chavron. In any event, all of these Amarayim, they said it all eventually in the name of Rav Chunya, either coming from the Beis Chavron or the Beis Chodon. And he said as follows, what's the source for this asmachta that you should be mitzayin a grave, you should mark off the grave with limestone? Because the pasuk says in regards to a person who has negoyim, who's a mitzara, v'tomei tomei yikra, he should call out to everybody and say that he's tomei. K'dei sh'tei hatuma korloch befia v'omeris l'cha pirosh. It's as if to say, listen, I'm tomei. If you come into contact with me, you're going to come tomei. Be careful. Don't come into contact with me. Separate yourself from me, and that's the asmachta that we should separate ourselves from these graves. So therefore, minayin litzion, how do you know you're supposed to do this, is an allusion, an asmachta from this pasuk that we just brought down. Gemara continues and says another drasha, Rabbi Yilo, b'shem Rav Shmuel bar Nachman, he says this is the source. V'avru ha'ovrim ba'aretz v'ra etzem adam uvana etzlo tzion. So he brings down this pasuk from Yecheskel. The Tikkun Chadatin tells us that this is talking about the end of days when we're going to have the battle of Gog Umagog. As he brings down in Dibra Maslo, Vera Etzem Adam, Haikra Binavuas Yecheskel, Ksiv. This is written down in Perek Lamites in Yecheskel, where it talks about the Muhammad of Gog Melech Mogog in Kla Yisrael. Pashtid and the Kra is Ala Asid. The simple understanding of the Pasuk is it's going on the future. Shayas Yisrael Tsiyunim, that the Jewish people will make markers, they will put lime, Ala Tzomos Hapigorim, on all the dead bodies, Litol Misham, to remove them from there, Ulukavrim Begay Hamon Gog, to eventually bury them in this valley, Begay, known as Hamon Gog, where there'll be a lot of the people of Gog. Mikol Makom Remesu, this is a remes, Shelo Bo Hakosuv Elula Hazir Ulalamid. This pasuk is coming to teach us and warn us, She Oset Sion Shiyifreshu Min HaTumah. Again, this is another illusion that you should separate yourself from Tumah. So this pasuk is going to be darshan now as follows. When it says, Ba'avru Ovim Ba'aretz V'ra Etzem, what does Etzem imply? Mikan Shemitzainin Al HaTzomos, that you go and mark off where there are bones. Tikkun Chadatin tells us, even though the meat, Nebuch, will decay and will no longer be there, the bones remain. And the bones have the capability of still being metame if somebody is mahal over them, if somebody passes over them, walks over them, he's making a tent over them with his body, so then he becomes tame. If it has rova akav, if you have a certain amount of bone there, a rova akav's worth of bone, so then you become tummy. That's what the word etzim is telling us. Adam, what is that coming to teach us? The Gemara says, mikan shemitzainin al hashidra v'halgugolis. There you have to go and mark, even if you don't have the whole body there, if you just have the spinal cord, or if you just have the skull. The shidra is the spinal cord, el gugolis is the skull. And the Tikkun Chadatin and both the Korban Eda both say, afabi she'enon elu etzim echot, even though the skull is only one bone, you still have to mark it off. And if you have the shedra, even just the majority of it, and even if it's less than a rova kav, that also can be tome, matame, a person by oa. Then it says, ubono, you shall build over there, mikan shemitzayin, agabi evin kavua, that you have to go and mark it on a stone that is built into the ground. As Tikkun Chadatin says, ala kever, on the grave itself. The Hochi Mashma, Lishna Dekor, this is what the Pasuk is telling us, Ubana, you have to build it in. Shemuchubar Kibinyan, it has to be attached to the ground like a binyan, as opposed to Lafuke, Evanam is Galgal, as opposed to a stone that may roll, as the Gemara, the Mefarish was, the Gemara is now going to tell us why you don't want to put it onto a rolling stone, but you want to put it on a stone that is built into the ground, that is attached to the ground. Because, imomer at agabi evin telusha, because if you're going to put it on a stone that's not attached to the ground, it can roll away, it can be moved away. Afi holeches, it moves away. Umetami v'mok macher. And then people will say, oh, that's where the tumah is. But actually, that's not where the tumah is. That's a stone that was moved from the place where the tumah is to a place where there is no tumah. And therefore, you have a double problem. You're going to have the problem of the place where it originally was is no longer marked, and people will be matami without realizing it. And the place where it's going to, somebody didn't realize it, and he passed over it, he'll say, now I'm tame, and all the taharos that he has are going to be tame, but they're really not, because there's no tum over there. So that's why you bedavka put it bana, you put it on a stone that is embedded in the ground, and not a stone that's just loose. Then it says in the pasuk, etzlo, ubana, etzlo. So what does etzlo mean? Lemakom tara. You put it near the makom tara, because as the Tikkun Chatatin brings down from the Bavli, he says, Shalola hafsid is a taharos. You don't want to ruin the taharos that aren't really going to become tummy. Shema yatsin ala kever, mamish, if the marking was directly over the kever, lo yamargish, the person isn't going to realize that he's passed over the bones until he's on it. Ashabah pisom ala tzion, because he's walking, oh, I just passed over this limestone, so I'm now tummy. So therefore, v'yitamu ataharos, he's going to make tummy all of his taharos that he has. Therefore, l'kach osin atzion somuch l'tumah, berichu k'tzas. That's why you mark it a little bit beyond the grave. So therefore, the person is mile over the limestone. He says, whew, thank God I didn't go to the area of the tumah. I'm just near it. T'kishubah l'tzion, margish, he'll see this tzion, he'll see this marking, then holy chalatumah, he won't go on the tumah area. So that's the word Ubana Etzlo. And finally it says, Tzion, ah, this is the marker, Mikan Letzion. This is the marker for us going and doing the limestone on this place. Now the Gemara says, we have the words, Umotzu Evan Achas Mitsuyenes, but the Korban Eda says, Hohi Garsinon, it should be Tani, which is like the introduction to a Braisa. So Tani, we learned in a Braisa, and it says, Motzo Evan Achas Mitsuyenes, if you find a single stone. Now, the way we just explained it is that they would mark the stone to the left of the kever, and they would mark the stone to the right of the kever. In some, they would mark it to the front and to the back of the kever, the head and the foot of the kever as well. So you demarcate where the kever is. But what happens if you only find a single stone? Umotzo Evan Achas Mitsuyenes, if you only find the single stone that has the lime on it, to demarcate that there's tum over here. So even though we just said you shouldn't go and put the marker directly over the grave, but since there's only one stone over here, alpha pishein mekaimen kein, since we said this is not the right way to do this, you should put it around the grave. However, in this situation, hamahil oleh tumi, if a person were to go over this one stone, we have to presume that this would put where the actual tumma was, and therefore somebody is mahil over this stone, so then he becomes tumi, any of the tyrus he has with him become tumi. Because ani omer, I say in this situation, mace, now the girsa that we have is mitsuyon, but the girsa of the groy is mace haya nasun tachtel. Because mistama, since there was only one stone that they had available to do this with, they only had enough lime. I don't know what the reason was that they only did one stone, but mistama, if you have only one, that's a demarcation that right underneath here is the tumma. But if we have the two stones, like I said, one to the left side of the grave, one to the right side of the grave, so then hamayel aleim tar, then we can presume that they're at the edge of the tumah, but they don't have tumah underneath them, as we just brought down. So when you come upon this, you'll know that you're about to enter into an area that could be tumah. So therefore, in this situation, we have two stones, so then if you're mile on the stones, hamayel aleim tar, however, ubeneim tumah, but in between them, then you presume that's where the kever was, and therefore that would be tumah if somebody was mile over that area. In my choresh bin taim, however, if the area in between them was plowed, so then harei hen kiyichidos. Then we have to assume that nobody would plow in a known area where there's a grave. So mistama, these are two unrelated stones, and therefore we have to presume that it's directly underneath the stones that there's the tumah. Beneim tar, in between in the plowed area, they're tar. However, the girsa that we have is svivo seyan tome, but you actually see in the girsa in the small print it says svivo seyan tar, which means, if you look in the Tikkun Chatatin, he has the gears over here, Ulekach Beinehem Tohor, not Sviyoseim Tar, Beinehem is Tar, the Al-Gabon Tomei, but on top of it is going to be Tomei. So this is when there's a plowed area in between them. If there's no plowed area in between them, it's the exact opposite. On top of them is Tar, but in between the two stones is Tomei. Then we have Tani, we have another Braisa. It says, Ein Mitzayin Al-Abosar. If you just have Nebuch flesh of a person without bones, so then they don't demarcate that area. They don't put the limestone there. Because Shema Nisach Al-Abosar, because the Bosar will eventually resorb into the ground. The Bosar will eventually decay and become mulch, or become part of the ground, and there won't be any flesh over there. And therefore, once it decays and it's no longer flesh, so then you're not going to be metame. It's only the bones that last that are metame, but the flesh doesn't. So therefore, we don't mark when you're just dealing with flesh. Rav Yusta questions this. Rav Yusta bar Shunem, boy kume Rabbi Mona. So he asked the following question in front of Rabbi Mona, and he asked him, the lo nimtza matami taharos l'mafreya, but wait a second, until this flesh, so to say, gets resorbed back into the ground, and until it deteriorates to the point where it's no longer metame, so anybody passing over this is going to be mild over this tumah. So nimtza, it's going to turn out that you're metamea taharos l'mafreya. All the taharos that were there that you passed over this are going to be tame. So Rav Mona was asked this question by Rav Yusta bar Shunem, so how come we don't mark it off? So he responded, Amalei, Rav Mona says back to Rav Yusta bar Shunem, he says, Mutav, it's better, shiskalkul bo l'sha. This is only a temporary thing. It takes a couple of months for this body to deteriorate, to decompose, and no longer be metame. So that'll be for a couple of months. As opposed to if we mark it off, al yiskalkul bo l'yolim. Then if somebody passes over this 10 years from now, he's going to say, oi, I'm tame, and all the taros I have with me are tame. That's a bigger kilkul potential. So we'd rather take the chances that somebody might pass over this unknowingly for a couple of months until the body decomposes, rather than have this marker there forever, and anybody who passes over it will mistakenly think that they're tame, but in fact, they're not. Now we go to what we call halacha beis. The Yerushalmi calls them, instead of a mishnah, it calls them halacha. So we now reach halacha beis. And we begin the Mishnah as follows. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, Barishona hayu okrin umashlich lefnehem. Remember, we said in the first Mishnah that on Tezvav Adar, they would send out the shluchim to announce to the people, mashmiim, machrizim, we said, to announce that the kilayim have to be uprooted. So originally, they would send out the shluchim, and when they saw that it was kilayim, so hayu okrin umashlich lefdeim. So they would uproot the kilayim, and they gave it back to the people, and the people get hanah from the kilayim. However, misherabu over yaveira, when the people said, this is a great deal, somebody's doing all my work for me, and I get all the benefit, so they weren't caring that they're over kilayim, they were just happy to have somebody uprooted for them. They changed it. Hayu okrin, they uprooted the kilayim, umashlichin ledrochim, and instead of giving it back to the owners, they threw it into the public thoroughfare so they wouldn't get the benefit from the uprooted kilayim. However, subsequently, hiskinu shiu mafkirin es kol asodeh. But subsequently, as we'll explain in the Gemara, people were even happy about that. They said, okay, somebody's giving me free labor, uprooting my kilayim. So they didn't rush to go do this. So the rabbis were upset with this. So they made another takana, and they were mafkir the whole sodeh. They said, okay, if you don't do this, we're giving you a kenas, and we're going to make you sodeh hefker. And anybody that wants to can come and take your field over, and they'll get rid of the kilayim. And that's what the Gemara is now going to tell us. Amar Yehuda v'chulei, we quote the Mishnah, and we say, Tani, we learned in the Braisa, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda, in the Braisa explains in more detail what we said in the Mishnah. Barishona, originally, the shluchim came, Hayokrin, Mashlich Lefdeim. They would go and uproot the kilayim and give it back to the people. They would put it in front of them in their property. And the people who were sinners in allowing the kilayim to exist, they could have uprooted it, but they allowed it to exist because they were happy for two simchas. They had a double simcha over here. Number one, somebody's uprooting their field for them. Somebody was weeding their field for them for free. And not only that, but then they got benefit from the kilayim. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says, Mishurabu over Yaveru, when the people said this is a great system and they didn't mind having kilayim, so hayu mashlichin ala drachim. So the shluchim came from the basin and they uprooted it, but they didn't give it to them. They threw it out into the road. So now they lost out on getting the benefit from the kilayim. But still, it was an ishkefelik, wasn't so bad. Afa pikein, even so, they lost out a little bit. Nevertheless, hayu smechim, they still were happy. Why? Because at least they were getting free weeding. Shayu menakshin, sedoseim. They got free weeding over here, somebody coming and uprooting the kilayim from their field. So therefore, Beis Din was Masaki and Hiskinu, Shumafkirin, Kolas Adikula. So they now made it hefker. And they said, whoever goes and uproots the kilayim, the field will belong to them. So any Tom, Dick, and Harry from the street can now own their field. So, oh, now the people are terrified, so now they would go and get rid of the kilayim before this happened. Now the Gemara says, Minayin, how do we know that Beis Din has the power to do this? Minayin shehefker, Beis Din hefker. How do we know that Beis Din has the right to go and make somebody's property hefker? So we bring down a pasuk, Dirsiv. The pasuk says, now this pasuk is from Ezra. We can't learn out a din from Nach. You can only learn out a din from Chumash. But we learn out the idea, at least in Asmachta, that Beis Din has this power. Because it says when Ezra was bringing Kal Yisrael back to Eretz Yisrael. And Nebuch, many of them were so far gone in their observance that they'd married Goyisha women. So he wanted them to get rid of their Goyisha wives. So he gathered everybody together and he said, if anybody doesn't come within the next 3 days. Now the girsa that we have is Ba'atzas HaSorim, but it should be Ka'atzas HaSorim. That's the right girsa. Vaskenim. If anybody doesn't come within the next 3 days, as I'm telling you to do, and as the officers are telling you to do, and as the Canaan are telling you to do, what's going to happen? You're going to lose your property. Yocharam ko ruchusho, huyibodo mikala gola. You'll lose all your property, we're going to take it away from you, and you'll be separated from Kla Yisrael, mikala gola. So therefore, you see clearly that they had the right to do so. Now the Gemara says, minayin shipitur min amaisos. How do we know that you're allowed to go and do this to the extent that now it becomes Hefker, and Hefker is potter from Maestros. So you're uprooting now a din in the Torah. It's one thing to say that from a financial point of view, we're giving you your property away. We're taking your property away. That's not uprooting a din in the Torah. Here, you're now saying that it's potter from Trumas and Maestros. So that's uprooting a basic din. You're saying that it's really Hefker. Hefker is potter from Trumas and Maestros. So you have the power to do this. How do we know you have the power to do this? So the word brings down Rav Yonah's son. That's the girsa that we have. Again, if you look in the Nuschos HaBavli, Os Tes, he brings down, this is Rabbi Noson, Rabbi Yitzchok, Bar Acha, Mashmolei. And he says that that's what he said, Mashmolei, instead of Shema Lo Min Hada. So again, the Gersa we have is Rabbi Yonason, who was the son of Bereid, Rabbi Yitzchok, Bar Acha, and Shema Lo Min Hada, he learns it out from here. And the Nusach that we're more familiar with from the Bavli is that it was Rabbi Noson, Bar Yitzchok, Bar Acha, who Mashmolei, he learned out the following. And the Braitzer says, "Ein ma'abri mesashona." You're not allowed to go make an Ibrio. You're not allowed to make a second Adar Sheni. You're not allowed to make a second month of Adar. Lo b'shvius, not during the Shemitah year, and not even lo b'motzi shvius, and not during the year after the Shemitah. You're not allowed to do an Ibrio. You can't make a second month of Adar during the Shemitah year or the year following the post Shemitah year. We'll see in a moment why. Vimi brua, but if they didn't listen, for whatever the reason, they felt it was absolutely necessary to do so, and they declared an Adar Sheni in either the Shemitah year or in the post-Shemitah year. Hare zu muberes taka, it takes effect, and in fact, it is a second month of Adar. Now, what did Rav Yonason or Rav Nosson say? He says, v'chodesh echo shumosif, this month that you added, Adar Sheni, lo potter mimaisusu, isn't it going to also be having the din of Shemitah and it's potter of maisos? In the Shemitah year, there are no chumas and maisos because it's hefker. So therefore, you clearly see that the rabbis have the power because the rabbis are making it a second month of Adar. So you see the rabbis have the power to make it hefker in that it's potter from chumas and maisos, and therefore the rabbis have that power. Now, we're going to get to a question on this in a few moments, but right now we want to still explain, so that's good for the Shemitah year. But what about the post-Shemitah year? So the Gemara has the Girsa Ad Kidon Shvius. It makes sense over here for Shvius. The Girsa in the Nuschas HaBavli, which you see in Os Yud, is Nicha B'Shvius. It makes very good sense in Shvius and during the Shemitah year. However, Motzei Shvius in the post-Shemitah year, my, how come there we can't go and make an Adar Sheni? What was the reasoning in the Braisa for saying you don't make an Adar Sheni in the Shemitah year? That we understand, because we don't want to go and have an extra month of Shemitah. So that's why we don't do this, because Shemitah is a difficult year. But why the post-Shemitah year? So the Gemara answers, in the Yerushalmi in general, it's not as well redacted, not as well edited. So you often have a lot of different gersos. So here we have either the gersa Amar Rabbi Avo, or we have Amar Rabbi Bun, or it says on the side, the correct gersa should be Amar Rabbi Oven. So whoever it was that said it, Shalo l'rabos b'isr chodosh, because we don't want to make it in the post-Shemitah year, because we know that only when Nisan comes and you bring the Korban Omer on the first day of Chol HaMoed Pesach, then the new wheat is matired. Until then, you're only allowed to eat Yashan. And since it's post-Shemitah, so you had a whole year, you probably used up a lot of your crops that you had stored, so you're going to be short on food. So therefore, the rabbis shouldn't go and add on an extra month to prevent you from getting the new crops to be able to be eaten a month earlier. That's why we don't add on an extra month. And that's what this Rabbi Ovun said. However, by the way, the Gemara says, Rabbi Ze'era, b'shem Rabbi Elazar, and we don't have the gears of Rabbi Avo, that's in parentheses, he says, Hador de'at omer, that din that you just said, this, Hador de'at omer, that you just said, that we don't make a Ibrayar, a second Ador Sheni, a month of Ador Sheni, in the post-Shemitah year, that's only when we didn't have this hetter that we're about to say. Achlo hita Rabbi, until Rabbi Yudan Nasi, the great Rabbi, allowed Lahavi Yarek Michutz Loritz Loritz. Rabbi was matir the bringing in of vegetables, and the Tikkun Chadin says, and certainly hu adin tvua, to bring in from Chutz Laaretz in Teretz Yisrael. Normally they would be concerned that the dirt of Chutz Laaretz is metame, so we wouldn't want to bring tumah in Teretz Yisrael. But Rabbi saw that there was a need to bring in food from outside to support the people during the Shemitah and the post-Shemitah year, so Rabbi was matir bringing in Yerek and Tvua from Chutz Laaretz to Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, this din that we just said, that we don't ma'abr the Shana during a Shemitah year or in a post-Shemitah year, was only when they didn't have this heter. Avo mishihita Rabbi lohavi Yerek, who had in tour, mechutz la'aretz la'aretz, now that we're allowed to bring in food, so then, he shviyas, he shall shar shnei shvua. Then there's no difference between the Shemitah year and the post-Shemitah year in terms of making an Ibra Yar. If you want to, you can. Now the Vilna Gaon, you see this in Agos Agra, Oz Gimel deletes the next words. He says, lo gar sinan, tani in ma'avi b'chule. It was like we're quoting over here this Brisa. So whether you're gar sin or not, we just go vayit in the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Mona, Rabbi Mona said, Hadad the Atomar, that which you said, that we don't make a post-Shemitah year, an Eber yard, that we don't make another Shani in a post-Shemitah year, that's Berishona, Shioshonim Kisikna. The reason why they didn't do so was the crops used to mature very rapidly. The crops would always be mature by Nisan, and therefore there would be a benefit in not having a leap year because they would be able to start eating these new crops because they would mature if they could bring the carbon omer. So you wouldn't want to have an extra month to delay you from bringing that carbon omer. However, nowadays he says, Aval Akshav She'en Hashanim Kisiknan, that Eretz Yisrael is no longer the way it used to be. There was a great bracha originally in Eretz Yisrael that the crops matured very fast, but now that bracha has been lost, and the crops aren't maturing by Nisan, so it doesn't make a difference if you make an Eber Yor, because they're still going to still not be ready in time for the carbon omer. So you're not going to be able to get benefit from the bringing the carbon omer early if you didn't make it a leap year. So therefore, in this situation, he, which is referring to Motsoi Shvius, that's the gears of the Gra, he, Motsoi Shvius, he, Shar Shnei Shavua, is exactly the same as the rest of the years. So therefore, you can make an Eber Yor even then as well. Now, Tani, we learn in another Braisa, Shabbos Rabban Gamliel, Yibrua B'motzi Shvius Miyad. Since you're allowed to do this, so they would do this right away. They had no concern about delaying the post-Shmita year by a month, and in the Beis Din of Rabban Gamliel, when they felt it was necessary to make an Eber Yor, they would do so even in a post-Shmita year. Now we go back to the Braisa that we brought down before, that it says, the Chodesh Echad Shu Mosif, Rav Yonason or Rav Nosson, it told us, is obviously Potim and Amaisos. Oh, here you see that Beis Din has the ability to make Hefker, Beis Din, Hefker. Now we get back to that and we question that. Amar Rabbi Yovan says, in Min Hadot, if that's the source for your proving that Beis Din can have the power to make Beis Din Hefker, so then less at Shama Mino Klum, then that's incorrect. You can't learn anything from there, because that could be a unique din. That's a separate din of Shomer Chodesh Aviv. The Torah tells us that you must make sure that you're protecting the month of Aviv. In other words, Shomreyu Shioviyu B'chidusho. It means that you have to protect it to make sure that the crops are brought in the right time, that they should be brought during the month of Nisan. So therefore, this is a special Gzeres HaKasa. This is the Torah telling us that Beis Din has the power to do this, because you want to make sure that they're not coming too late. So sometimes you have to put in an Eber Yor, you have to put in an extra month of Adar, an Adar Sheni, in order to make sure that the crops are maturing at the right time. So you can't bring me a riot from here, the Hefker Beis Din Hefker. No, this is Gzeres HaKasa. Gemara says, so then, that's the Gersha that we have. On the side it says that the Gersha should be Hador, the At Omar, that which you just said, that we are giving Beis Din the power of Beis Din Hefker, so where do we know it from? If this isn't the source, then what is the source? So Gemara says, Godish, if you have a pile of produce, and underneath it, Shalo Lukat Tachtov, there was leket underneath it, the leket is the gleanings that you dropped, and they belong to the Aniyim. But you cover them up with your crops. So in this situation, the leket is potter from Trumas and Maestros, but your crops are higher than Trumas and Maestros. The rabbis came along and gave them the knas that you're trying to steal from the Aniyim, the poor people that can't get their leket now. So kol hanogos baritz, any of your crop that's touching the ground, harei hein, the gears that we have is harei hein and zeh, shel Aniyim. The extra word zeh really doesn't make sense. Sharei hein, these are shalaniim. Even your crops now belong to the aniim. And the Omer of Ami, b'shem, we turn to the Omer Beis, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. So Rabbi Ami said the name of Reish Lakish, that you see clearly from here that the produce that you put down is no longer chayiv in trumas and maisers, and therefore hefker based in hefker. And this goes in accord with the opinion of Beis Shammai, the Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai says that even if you only make something hefker for aniyim, this is only for aniyim. We're not letting anybody come and take this. Yet, even if you only make it for the aniyim, it is hefker, and it's no longer chayiv in trumas and maisers. That's what we see from here. Because the boy Beis Hillel, because if you're going to tell me that this goes in accord with Beis Hillel, Beis Hillel says something is not hefker until you make it hefker for everybody. So according to Beis Hillel, you would have to, in fact, take off Trumas and Maisos, as the Gemara says, Aniyim Ochlin U'Masrin. On the side, it says that the Girsa really should be Ma'asrin V'Ochlin. First you take off the Maisos, then you can eat it. You can't eat it before you take off the Maisos. So therefore, according to Beis Hillel, in this situation, it wouldn't be Hefker-based in Hefker. However, Ba'amule Rabbi Yossi says, no, Shemanu Shupotur Mimaiser Divriakol. That not only Beis Shammai, but even Beis Hillel would say that it's part of Trumas and Maisos. Why is that? Mishum Knosso. Because this is a Knas that they put over here on this owner, that he put out his crops on top of this leket, so he tried to steal this little bit of leket from the Aniyim, so therefore we make a Knas. Oh, how is Beis Hillel have the power to make this, that it's part of from Trumas and Maisos? This is the principle of Hefker based in Hefker. Now we go to Halacha Gimel, the next Mishnah, Mishnah Gimel. So it tells us, B'chamish Asar Bo, Shulchanos HaYoshvim Medina, on the 15th day of the month of Adar, they would send out the money changers. The Shulchanos were people that would sit by a Shulchan, they were known as Shulchanios, these people that would be in charge of exchanging money that people would bring in for other monies, different units of currency. So HaYoshvim Medina. There's two interpretations over here. Medina means in the rest of Eretz Yisrael, and then in the next statement we're going to say in the Mikdash it means Yerushalayim, or that it means over here that Medina means in Yerushalayim, and we're going to say in a moment in the Mikdash that means actually in the Beis HaMikdash in the area of the Har HaBayis. So learning it simply, so B'chamisha Asar Bo Shulchanos Yoshvim Medina, on the 15th day of the month the money changers would start going and sitting in the Medina. And Be'esun V'chamisha, at the 25th day of the month of Adar, we're getting close to Nisan already, Yoshua Mikdash. Then they already sit in the Mikdash. Again, whether that means in the actual Mikdash or in Yerushalayim, that depends on how you translate the word Medina. And once they sat in the Mikdash, Mishu Yoshua Mikdash, Hischilu L'mashkin, they would now start taking a ravon from the people. They would take a collateral. They would literally go into their houses, as the Korban Edah says, Umotzin ha'avut mibeso shomishlo hevi shkolo. If somebody didn't bring his machzis shekel, they'd go into his house and they would take something from him. They would take some possession as collateral. And they would start doing this on the 25th day of the month of Adar. Now, who do they have the right, based on who do they go and take a mashkon from? Who do they take a collateral from? So they would take it from Levim the Yisraelim. They would take this from both the Levim and the Yisraelim. We'll see in the Gemara, we're going to say that there are some that say that the Levim are also potter, like the Kohanim, but this girsa goes according to the opinion, it says the Levim are mechuyavim. So Levim Yisraelim, and also from Gerim, from people that were converts to Klai Yisrael, so they're full-fledged Jews as well, Chayiv the Masas the Shekel, Avodim Mishuchvarim, you had an Eved Kenani that's freed, he becomes a full-fledged Yid as well, and all of these people, the Umuchuyovim in Masas the Shekel, and if they didn't go and voluntarily give it, so on the 25th of the month of Adar, the Shluchim would go into their houses and take out a collateral to enhance their desire to give. However, they wouldn't do this. Avolo noshim va'avodim uktanim. Basin would not go take a collateral from women who aren't muchuyavos in the mitzvah. The carbon eder brings down v'nosdu ish kofer nafsho k'siv v'lo isha. So only men are obligated. And likewise, avodim, here it's talking about an eved kinani that's not mishuchrar. He has the dinim of a woman. And uktanim, and children under the age of bar mitzvah, we'll see, there's even a din under the age of 20, we don't take a mashkon from them. However, the Mishnah continues, it says, if a father started giving matzah shekel on behalf of his son who was a katan, so then she continued to do so. Shuv eino posik. The father then has set up basically a custom to do so, so then he has to continue to do so. And the Mishnah says, however, ein memashkinin esa kohanim. But from kohanim, we don't take a mashkon. And the girsa that we have in the Mishnah is mipnei darki sholom, because we don't want to fight. We want to have peace. And the Gemara is going to say, it should be Mishum Kavot of the Kohanim, that it's pasnish, so to say, to go to the Kohanim and go and take it from them. Now, why should the Kohanim be different than anything else? So now the Mishnah has a machlokus over here. And the Mishnah tells us, Amar Rav Yehuda holds that Heyid ben Buchri b'Yavne, he testified, when you have a Lashon of Heyid, it usually means that he holds like that. So Rav Yehuda says that Ben Bukhri said in Yavne that kol kohen sheshokel inochote, that the kohanim are not obligated to. But if a kohen wishes to, he's not considered terrible. He's not considered a chote if he goes and gives the machzis a shekel. But they're not obligated to do so. Tomorrow we'll explain why. Amar Rav Yochanan Zakkai. Rav Yochanan Zakkai said to Ben Bukhri, you're wrong. Loki, that's not right. Ela kol kohen she'eino shokel is a chote. If in fact the kohen doesn't choose to give the matzis a shekel, he's a chote. He's doing something wrong. He's also obligated in giving the matzis a shekel. What's the source of the machlokis over here? So he says, Ela shel kohanim darshin mikros eliatzman. The kohanim incorrectly darshin the following pasuk in their favor, for their financial benefit. But they're wrong. Because the pasuk says, "Chol minchas kohen," if a kohen brings a korban mincha, a private kohen brings a private korban mincha. So, as opposed to when a yisrael brings a korban mincha, that you are sacrificing the kometz, the handful on the mizbeach, and the shrayim are eaten by the kohanim. When a kohen brings a mincha, that's not true. Kalil tiyah, the entire korban mincha is brought on the mizbeach. Lo siyacha, none of it is eaten. There's no shrayim that's eaten. A yisrael brings a mincha. The shrayim are eaten by the kohanim. But a kohen brings a mincha, the kohen doesn't eat any of it. The entire korban, no kmitz is done, the entire korban is sacrificed on the mizbeach. And therefore, the kohanim said as follows. Ha'oel, since the korban omer, the omer, ushteh lechem, and the lechem that is brought on Shavuos with the kisvei atzeres, and likewise the lechem aponim, the showbreads that are, the 12 showbreads that are eaten by the kohanim, all of these are eaten by the kohanim, the korban mincha, the Shtei Alechem and Alechem Panim, Shalanu, Haim. They belong to us. And if we were to give Machzis HaShekel, then we would be partial owners. And if we were partial owners, then it should be Kalil Tiyeh Lo Siachel. We shouldn't be allowed to eat them. So therefore, Hech Necholim, if we were obligated in the Machzis HaShekel, how could we possibly eat the Omer, the Shtei Alechem, and the Alechem Panim? Ergo, since we can, in fact, go and eat them, must be that we're not obligated in the Machzis HaShekel. That's the incorrect drasha the Rav Yochanan Ben Zakkai said the Kohanim made. Now Ben Bukhri said that's taka a good drasha. Gemara starts off and says ein mashkinin etzak tanim, that we don't take a mashkin from tanim. So Gemara says hold it boa tovim, but that implies that we do go and ask them to give. We said early in the Mishnah that we don't, the ketanim aren't obligated. So Gemara says no, hador de tamar, that which we said, they were not mamashkin the ketanim b'shehevi shtei saros, when they have reached the age of physical maturity. So they're now bar mitzvah. So there, in that situation, we ask them to give, but we don't take a mashkin for them. Avol mohevi shtei saros, if they don't have the shtei saros, lo bidor, then we don't even go and ask them to go and give. Ula mashkin, and to go and take a collateral from them and a rovim from them, then we don't do that. Now the gears that we have is ach yovi shtei saros, until they bring shtei saros. Afal pi shehevi shtei saros. But that gears is problematic, and the Vilna Gaon corrects the gears and says emi mashkin ach yehei ben esrim, and that's afal pi shehevi shtei saros. So even if they have shtei saros, but they're not yet 20 years old, we don't take a mashkon from them. That Gemara continues and says, Keni Masnisa. Now, Keni Masnisa could mean that our Braisa is telling us to qualify the Mishnah. That's the simple way to understand this. And Eime Mashkin is a Kohanim. We said in the Mishnah that you don't take a Mashkin from the Kohanim. We said, Mipnei Darche Shalom, but the Braisa corrects that and says, Mipnei Derech HaKobor. Because it's disrespectful to go and go into the Kohen's house and go and take out a Mashkin from him. They're still obligated to go bring it, according to the opinion of Rav Yochanan Ben Zakkai, but it's disrespectful to ask for a mashko. Then the Gemara tells us, Amar Yehuda, hey v'chule. We quote the Mishnah. Now we discuss the machlokas between Rav Yehuda, who said this in the name of Ben Bukhri, in the name of Ben Bukhri, and Rav Yochanan Ben Zakkai. Again, Rav Yehuda and Ben Bukhri say that the Kohanim were correct in not giving the matzah to shekel. If they wished to, they could. And Rav Yochanan Ben Zakkai said, no, they made this incorrect drasha, and they're in fact mechuyavim in giving the matzis a shekel, just like a regular Yisrael. So Amar Rabbi Brechia, Rabbi Brechia tells us, time of the Yochanan Zakkai. What did Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai say that the Kohanim are wrong in making this drasha, that they're in fact obligated? Because he says, the pasuk says, Zeh Yitnu. Everybody has to give the matzis a shekel. Zeh in Gematria is 12. Shnei Masor Shvatim Yitnu, which implies that all of the Shvatim, including the Shevet of Levi, which includes the Kohanim, have to go and give Matzis a shekel. Zeh, the Shvatim, 12 Shvatim, Yitnu, have to give the Matzis a shekel. Reb Tavi B'Shem Rav Nuna says, Kein Meshivin Chacham Rav Yehuda. This is, in fact, why Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai did not like the drasha that Rav Yehuda brought in the name of Ben Bukhri. And he says, Kei Meshivim Chacham Rav Yehuda. This is what they would respond back to Rav Yehuda, who said he's made in the name of Ben Bukhri, so implying that he agrees with Ben Bukhri, and they told him that you're wrong. You tried to bring me a saraya from the Karban Omer and the Shtei Alechem and the Lechem Aponim that the Kohanim are allowed to eat it, therefore they must not be balim in those korbanos, otherwise it would have to be totally burnt on the Mizbeach. So, Chatas Yochid Mesa, an individual's Chatas dies, but ain't Chatas Tzibur Mesa, but a Tzibur's Chatas never dies. In other words, the Tzibur is treated differently than an individual. Minchas Yochid Kreva Kolu, a mincha of a Kohen that brings a korban, mincha, so the entire korban mincha is brought on the Mizbeach. But the Tzibur is different. They minchas Tzibur Kreva Kolu, but the Shtei Alechem, the Lechem Aponim, and the korban Omer, they're all brought and eaten by the Kohanim. So therefore, you see the difference between a Minchas Yochid and the Minchas Sibur. Therefore, Rav Yehuda ben Bukhri, your drosh is incorrect. Gemara says, wait a second, Bekasha, you're bringing a Saraya over here to against Rav Yehuda from the idea that a Chatas of a Yochid is Mesa, but a Chatas of a Sibur is not Mesa. Rav Yehuda disagrees with that. Mishivin Liodom Dov Rishenu Modibo, you're asking a Kasha and Rav Yehuda from something that he doesn't agree with, Ditnan, because we have a Mishnah in Yuma, that's the next Masech that we go to, Ditnan, it says in Yuma, Shein Chatas Tzibur Mesa. It says that the opinion of the Chacham is that the Chatas of a Tzibur doesn't die, but Rabbi Yehuda, or Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Tomus, he says it does die. So therefore, how can you bring this Araya over here against Rabbi Yehuda when he doesn't agree with the Araya that you're bringing? But in any event, the Gemara says, viewed as a different teretz. But most of them, he answers us anyway. He says, Zu lo nidvas yochid hi. He says, the reason why the matzis shekel is not an obligation for the Kohanim, albeit they're not a chote if they bring it, that's because lo nidvas yochid hi. It's not really equivalent to a typical individual donation. So when a Kohen brings a mincha, that's his absolutely own personal korban, and therefore it's kolil. It's totally on the mizbeach. But here, when he's giving the matzah a shekel, technically he doesn't have to, because he's an individual, and therefore, as an individual, a Kohen, he wouldn't be allowed to technically eat the Korban Mincha. But here, we technically allow that, because he is giving it over to the Tzibur. But that's why he's not obligated to do so, but if he does so, he's not a sinner, he's not a chote. That's the opinion of Rav Yehuda, that's the opinion of Ben Bukhri. However, the Chachamim, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and the Chachamim, v'inun masivinun le, so they responded to this argument of Yehuda and say, no, kivin shenimsu l'tzibur, if you're giving the Machzis a shekel money, you're giving it over to the Tzibur, it's totally given over to the Tzibur, it's not a Yochid at all, and therefore, they are mechuyavim because it's not a private carbon anymore, it's definitely given over to the Tzibur. And therefore, kimi shehu nidvas Tzibur, and that's why Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, the Chachamim, argue with Yehuda and Ben Bukhri. Now, Ksiv, the Pasuk says, Kola over al ha-pikudim, anybody who passes over the pikudim. So we have a machlokas over here that can explain the understanding of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai versus Ben Bukhri. And this is explained by Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemiah. We don't know which one said which. These two Tanoim explain the machlokas between Ben Bukhri and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai in the following way. Chadamar, either Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Nechemiah said, when it says Kola over al ha-pikudim, it means called the over biyama. Yitain. Anybody who went through Yamsuf, who went through Kriyas Yamsuf, has to give Matzah Shekel. The Kohanim also went through Kriyas Yamsuf. That's what Yochanan ben Zakkai is saying, that they have to go and give the Matzah Shekel. The Charon Omar, either Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Nechemiah, the other one said, no, when it means Kol Over Al Pikudim, it means Kol Da'avar Al Pikudaya Yitain. Anybody who was counted in the census, they have to go and give the Matzah Shekel. Now, the Kohanim were not counted in the census, and therefore, that's the opinion of Ben Bukhri that says the Kohanim are exempt from giving the Matzah Shekel. And the Gemara explains what I just said. Man Yomar Kol Yavar Biyama Yitain. The one who says that it's going, whoever went through Kriyas Yamsuf, Kol Over Al Pkudim means whoever went through Kriyas Yamsuf, that's Messiah of Yochanan ben Zakkai, that says the Kohanim have to go and give the Matzah Shekel. But the other opinion, that it's Man Yomar Kol Yavar Al Pikudaya Yitain, anybody who was counted in the census has to give, the Kohanim were exempt. Messiah of Ben Bukhri, that goes in accord with the opinion of Yehuda and Ben Bukhri, that the Kohanim are exempt. Halacha Dalit. Now we go to the fourth Mishnah in the Perek. The Mishnah starts, Afa Bishamu, even though it says, Amen Mashkinan Noshiva Avodim Ktanim, even though we just learned that you don't take a mashkon from women, from Avodim Kinanim, or children under the age of Bar Mitzvah, and even under the age of 20. However, the Mishnah tells us, Avolim Shoklu, if they wish to donate the Machzis HaShekel, Makabim Yodah, we take it. Then the Mishnah tells us, as opposed to Hanochri Vakusi Shishoklu, if a Nochri or a Kusi were to go and give the Maksis a shekel, the Nochri is a non-Jewish person, the Kusim are the people that came from the land of Kuta that were brought by Sancheivin into Eretz Yisrael. We've talked about them many times, and they worshipped Avodah Zarah, but then they subsequently converted when lions attacked them. And the question was their conversion a valid conversion or not? Ultimately, it was not, and the Kusim are not considered full-fledged Jews, and therefore, a Nochri or Kusi that wants to give Matzah to Shekel, aim a kabbalah mehen, we don't take it from them. We'll see it based upon Psukim from Ezra. And we likewise don't accept from them. This really applies, the Tikkun Chadin says, to the Kusi, because the Nochri doesn't have the din of being a Zava or Zava, and a Kusi does. So we don't take from them if they want to bring the bird offerings that you bring after a Ziva, whether it's a man, a Zavin, or a Zavos, or a woman, or if they have a Yoledis Kusi, so they want to bring the bird offerings that are brought, so we don't accept it from them. Likewise, if they want to bring a chatos or an asham, chatos v'ashamos, we don't accept from them. Why? What's the rule? The rule is as follows. Zeklau. Kol shenidav v'nidav, anything that is given voluntarily as a donation to the mizbeach. In other words, this is a machlokas in the Bavli as to whether this includes ola and shlamim or just ola. In any event, anything that could be voluntarily donated, that can be accepted by anybody. We will go take even from a Nochri or a Kusi. However, if it's something that can't be voluntarily brought onto the Mizbeach, such as a Chatas or an Osham, or even for Bede Kabayis, then we don't take it from them. And this is based upon the pasuk that I mentioned before from Ezra. When Ezra came back to Eretz Yisrael, in the time of the rebuilding, the second base of Mikdash, so it says in Ezra, Shenemar, Lo Lochem V'lonu Livnos Beis Elokeinu. He said, no, it's not for you and us to go build the base of Mikdash. We don't want the people that aren't members of Klai Yisrael to build the Beis HaMikdash. Only full-fledged members of Klai Yisrael can go and build the Beis HaMikdash. We turn to Dalet Amud Aleph, continuing the Mishnah. Now the Tiklun Kadatin has this as a separate Mishnah. That's why his commentary for this will all be found on the Amud Beis, Dalet Amud Beis. In any event, Be'elush Chayav Makabon. A Kabon is a very small coin. It's a kal bone, a small amount. That's what the Tiklun Chadatin says. Klomar dover kal muat shemosif in al maksis ha-shekel. When you change your coins, so the maksis ha-shekel became a more valuable coin, and everybody wanted the maksis ha-shekel around this time, so two maksis ha-shekels added up to be a sela, but actually it was worth more than the sela. It would be the equivalent if you took $2 half, and it's worth more than a dollar by a little bit, because the half dollar was more precious at that point in time, so it didn't just double, it was a little bit more than double. So you had to add on when you did this exchange, because otherwise the Beis HaMikdash would lose out. So they added on a small additional coin called the kalbon. So the following people, the Mishnah is now telling us, the following people are obligated in bringing this kalbon when they gave their maksis a shekel. Levim, Yisraelim, Begerim, Vavodim, Mishuchorim. The people that are all obligated in the Matzah Shekel, they're all obligated in the Kalbon. However, Avalo Kohanim, everybody agrees here that the Kohanim didn't have to give the Kalbon. The Noshim, women didn't, who brought the Matzah Shekel, they weren't obligated to. Vavodim and Eved Kenani, or Ketanim, people under the age of Bar Mitzvah, Bas Mitzvah, or possibly under the age of 20, they didn't have to give. If they gave the Matzah Shekel, they didn't have to add on the Kalbon. Mishnah continues and says, the explanation of what I just said. Hashokel ayde kohen, if somebody is giving on behalf of the kohen, or somebody is giving ayde ha'isha, ayad ha'isha, on behalf of a woman, or ayad eved, or for an eved that is an eved kinani, or on behalf of a katan, ayde katan, in all of these situations, potter. You don't have to give the kabon. The person's being nice, he's giving them the money, we'll see, he's really lending them the money, and therefore he doesn't have to go and give the kabon. As opposed to, if you're going and bringing the maksis ha-shekel on your behalf and on your friend's behalf, so in this situation, chayiv b'kalbon echad, you're obligated to bring one kalbon. The Gemara will explain why one kalbon. Reb Meir disagrees. Reb Meir omer shtei kalbonos. You have to bring one for each of you. And the Gemara says further, the Mishnah tells us, hanosein sela, if a person gives a sela, which is again is two half shekels, make up the sela. So if the person gives a sela, which would be two maksis shekels, the no-till shekel, and he takes back a shekel, is change, right? He gave a sela, he takes back a shekel. So in this situation, he has to pay two kalbonos, chayiv shnei kalbonos, one for the giving in that he gave in, and one for getting the change back. Now the terminology here is a little bit confusing, I know that, so let me explain. We're saying here the term shekel and maksis shekel, but we seem to be using them interchangeably. So you have to understand, in the Mishnah uses the term sela, and shekel. There are two shekels in a sela. So what we refer to as a maksis ha-shekel, the Mishnah is referring to as a shekel. But that's because they're referring over here to the Torah maksis ha-shekel, which is a shekel. When we talk about our maksis ha-shekel, so then we refer to what in the Chumash, in the Torah, it tells us is the shekel. So everything is halved when we refer to it, but the sela and the shekel are referring here to the Torah sela and shekel. When we talk typically the maksis ha-shekel, we're referring to the common usage of the coinage nowadays. In any event, the Mishnah concludes and says, Hashoka yedi ani, if somebody goes and gives the shekel, which is really the maksis ha-shekel, on behalf of the ani, or by yedi shcheino, or on behalf of his friend, or ayad ben iro, or for somebody else that lives in his city, potter, he doesn't have to pay the kavod. However, v'mehilvon, that's if he actually paid for it. If he just lent them the money, then chayev, you do have to pay the kalbon. Then finally, the Mishnah has another situation which we'll explain and discuss more in the Gemara, and that's in regards to people that are partners. People that are partners have certain halachos that are to their advantage in some situations and to their disadvantage in other situations. And when children inherit their father's estate, the father should live to be 120, and at the time that the father passes away, so the children inherit the estate. So when the estate hasn't been divided up yet, they're not considered partners in the estate. They're considered the estate as one entity. It's only after they divide up that they're considered two separate entities, and they're no longer considered partners. So these achin, who are still shutvin, in other words, they're still under the estate, so then the following rule applies to them. Chayav mekabon. They are considered over here like one person, and therefore it's not like one of them is paying for the other one, and therefore you're chayav in the kabon. Peturin, however, mimaisa behema. But they are considered in this situation like two people who in partnership own an animal, then there is no din of maisa behema. However, if they've separated and each of them owns their own animal, so then they are obligated to Maisa Behema, so then Turbin Akabon. Then if they pay for each other, then they don't have to pay the Kalbon. We'll see much more about this in the Gemara. Finally, the Gemara Mishnah concludes and says, Vakamu Kalbon, exactly how much is a Kalbon worth? So this is a machlokis. Mo Kesef Divir Rav Meir, Vachomimim Chatzima. That this is a certain amount of coinage known as a Ma of silver, Ma of Kesef, and the Chum say, no, it's half of that, it's a Chatzima. And the Gemara will explain this as well. With this, we conclude today's share.